of snack.
Oh, Jerry.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're...
Did he know something?
Did he know something?
Yeah, when he wrote that song, did he know we'd be living through these troubling times?
You know, I think Jerry wrote for all time.
Yeah. You could say his music is timeless, and it's not his song. He didn't write it.
That was Sanders, a guy on the Jerry Garcia band that was there, wrote it. Sanders is his name. He played...
Merle Saunders?
Merle. He wrote the book. Yeah, he wrote it. Yeah,
I love Merle.
You know,
You know that.
But
makes
I don't
sense.
Know of any other. I don't know of any other. I don't know of any other song that he actually wrote that Jerry sang. But he wrote that one. You know,
that's good. Well, he played with Jerry for several years outside of the Dead.
So, I
used to love to see Merle and Jerry together.
Yeah,
they were a great team.
Anyway, all right. So, welcome to Labor Beat. Here on the Eastern Panhandle Independent Community Radio Station, thinking about changing the name to Enlightened Radio, mainly because that's the same as the URL as the domain name.
It's easier to find.
I was at the fair at the Town Run Brewery the other day, and everyone kept saying, "Well, I keep looking, searching up Epic Radio, and I get 50 different radio stations. You know, half of them Christian, and then
we'll say Enlightened Radio that we call."
Eastern.
That we have a local, unless we can somehow weasel our way in there with Epic. But you're right. There's too many Epics. There's Epic everything, right?
And if we go Enlighten Radio,
that might work. Yeah,
we'll think about it. Okay.
Yeah, anyway. this is a work in progress.
to say the least.
Until
we're shipped off to the old folks farm here. But
just like our West Virginia legislature is a work in progress.
A work of what? I mean, it's like one of those.
The governor told them that they can pass any bill they want as long as they work with him, as long as they accept his plan.
Yeah, right.
And they're bolting. You know, it's the consumption tax versus, a lot of different cuts and taxes that I think are spread out more evenly and more fairly in the governor's plan. But the R's have never shown the ability to do anything with any sight, with any foresight. You know, they just cut and slash and burn and raise taxes to 8% consumption tax. Are you kidding me? We live. I can walk to Maryland from here.
Yeah, right.
So it's ridiculous. Yeah. And we've also had last night we had the lobbyist training. At the Clarion Hotel. I thought you'd be there. Zaki was there.
And, I was supposed to be there. People do want me to be there. But, the day is long. I get up at 4 in the morning.
That's what Zaki said. Zaki said that you were resting up. But and that's fine. I was just saying that you would have enjoyed it.
How did Rick Wilson do?
He did great. And I tried to get him on the show, but
he took off. Yeah,
we had dinner right afterwards, and then he took off for Morgantown. So
he's a good guy.
He is. He's great.
So
he's funny too.
He's doing some good work down there in the coal fields.
Yeah.
I like his.
We've had him on, but we've also tried to get him back on several times, and he's just one of those people. It's hard to pin down.
Well, he's not going to hear. On the day he's going to be here. So
right.
Anyway. Yeah, we had Rick on. I think we had him on twice, actually.
And Lida Shepherd, she's awesome. An old friend from Charleston. She was led the charge. And also Sierra Pennington, who's got a lot of hats. She wears a lot of hats. But so, the three of them put it on.
So I want to get you going this morning on the health care bill. I want you to be armed, leaving here.
No, the health care bill you're talking about on the federal level.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Okay, but the problem is they're rushing it through and they might pass it. So I think we need to get, people, understanding, as much as we can. Okay.
Well, it's a screw job.
So
it's a total screw job.
Paul Krugman now writes this morning that he calls it this way: a bill so bad it's awesome. And it says
it's
so
awesomely bad.
It's awesome,
Wow.
And he has this thing. It's long been obvious to anyone following health policy that Republicans would never devise a workable replacement for Obamacare. But the bill unveiled this week is worse than even the cynics expected. All right? And so Given the, I want to read some of this. Okay. Given the rhetoric Republicans have used over the past 7 years to attack health care reform, you might have expected them to do away with the whole structure of the Affordable Care Act. You know, deregulate, stop the subsidies, let the magic of the free market do its thing. You know, now that would have been devastating for 20 million Americans, but at least it would have been ideologically consistent with what they've been saying for 8 years. All right. OK, but no. So what they do is that instead of, you know, moving on and calling it Obamacare 2.0 or Trump care or Trump don't care, you know,
I like that Trump don't care.
What they're what they've actually offered to the people is Obamacare 0.5. You know, like half of what the first version was like.
Yeah, I mean, how do they think that people are going to take this?
Anyway, and it accepts the logic of the Affordable Care Act is that you have to have, you know, a competitive marketplace. But, you know, because it's doing away with the individual mandate. If you do away with the individual mandate, healthy people won't join, and only sick people will be in. The costs will skyrocket. And the healthcare plan will enter what they call a death spiral of rising costs and no income to pay for anything. There you go. That's the essence of the deal. In addition to getting rid of the individual mandate, which is absolutely essential for keeping healthy people in the system.
That's
the
right.
Only way their premiums can get anywhere near affordable. Okay.
Yep.
And so that's bad. The other thing is they're going to unhook
right.
the grants to states
right.
from the actual rising costs of health care so that your bill will, no matter what part of it you're in, will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you'll drop out. Without the mandate, you'll drop out. And you'll have to. The cost will be too high.
And then you go back to where we were.
And then the whole thing falls on its face, which
right.
is what they want. And you know, and you have all a bunch of people without health care dying on the steps of the hospital.
Right. Bodies piling up.
You know, but it's getting pretty close to the tone when we have to call this state murder.
Yes.
Because that's a choice. It's not that we couldn't do anything about the people that got sick and died. It's that we were doing something about it. We chose not to.
And what about the idea that hospitals will be closing down?
Yeah.
Because they won't have the funding.
Yeah, right. What about the... It's not just an idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only... excuse me. People running out of options, but... If the hospitals close down, that really is running out of options. You got no place to go.
You know, so anyway.
It's absurd. It's absurd. And they're looking for a complete revolt. They're looking for chaos. And they're going to get it. They're going to get it. People aren't going to take this sitting down.
I hope not. I hope not.
They're not. I mean, you can see it everywhere you go, John.
Okay.
We have a guest that's listening in that is going to call in. Tracy Cannon is going to call in pretty soon. She was at the reception that we had for the congressional delegation from West Virginia Wednesday night in D.C. And she helped organize it. And the idea was that our congressional makeup is four Republicans and one Democrat, Joe Manchin, and then the rest of them. And I want her to talk about it at length of her experience because she got there early. A lot of us got stuck in traffic and we got there a little bit late. But, you know, by the time we got there, four of them were gone. And I'll let you guess which four.
No.
And we were only a half hour late, John. It was supposed to be from 6 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
in the Dirksen Senate office building.
But they're just gone.
They weren't there. They weren't there. And there's video. And I'll let Tracy talk about it. But, I mean, she did a great job organizing and got a picture with Joe Manchin with the word town hall spelled out in T-shirts with Joe in the middle.
Uh-huh.
I'll show you that. It was on Facebook. But she can call in any time. Tracy, if you want, 304-885-0708.
Can you? I have to take a... Oh, there you are. Look,
she's listening. She said she was listening.
Right
yeah.
there. Okay. Good morning. You're on Epic Radio, and who's calling?
Tracy Cannon.
Hi, Tracy Cannon. My name is John Case, and JB Christensen is here. You know him.
Good morning, Tracy.
And
hey, how you doing?
We're having a ball here, man. It's great. You know, we're watching the snow come down after we had a 60-degree day yesterday.
I know. It's kind of pretty.
It is. And it's not sticking, so it's not a problem on the roads. You know, there's no
problem.
Everybody kind of likes to watch snow come down. You know, I don't think anybody hates the look at it. You know.
What's interesting is this year we haven't had much snow.
Right, hardly any.
Hardly any.
It's been
it
like
was
spring.
Warm so much of the winter.
Now, I alluded earlier to the reception that was held on Wednesday night in Washington, D.C., and I wanted you to talk to our audience about what your experience was there and your observations, and just let it all hang out because we're on internet radio and there's no FCC regulations. So you can say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I won't curse either way, but
you could though. You could. It wouldn't, you know, we're not going to get in trouble for it.
Okay. Well, good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was sort of a form of proper sort of event with, you know, lots of people were there in, you know, suits and dresses and heels and stuff. People from our group, there were about 40 to 50 of us.
Yes, indeed.
They knew in advance that protesters were coming. I'm not sure how they knew, but one of our, you know, we had talked about it on Facebook, so that's probably how they knew.
Even though it was a secret group. Right.
What's that?
I think those are secret groups, so-called secret groups that we have the several different.
Yes.
Secret
but
groups.
But there's no way of knowing that someone couldn't join.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well. You'd have to really do a good job of vetting any member. You know, you'd have to have.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to have a personal contact, and then they would probably invent people that sound like somebody that we know, and they're not that person. You know. They can do that. They have all kinds of devious ways to get in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was obvious.
Who are you talking about?
We're talking about these Facebook groups, and some of them are secret, some of them are not, some of them are open to the public.
Yeah.
And that's how this was organized. This action led by Tracy and also Russell McIver,
yeah,
a good friend, and also Dr. Matt Hahn, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know him.
And also, a lot of people were talking about it on Vigilance Jefferson County, and I think that might be how Shelley Moore Capito probably knew that we were coming, and that's how she managed to, she managed to come up with a prior engagement and leave about, you know, 5 minutes after she got there. But, you know, she had to have known about the reception well in advance, and I imagine in other years she probably stayed a little longer. And we had a funny feeling that was just sort of an excuse to get away since there were protesters.
She doesn't like protesters, and she doesn't like Russell personally. I mean,
right. So she could easily have found out from the guest list.
Yeah.
You know, one of her aides could have checked the guest list, saw Russell's name, and said, "Well, that Mokyber guy from Berkeley Springs that you're trying to avoid is going to be there." You know, and so she had a prior engagement.
Yeah, these Republicans, to me, they show no backbone, you know, to actually engage the public. I mean, they look at somebody who didn't vote for them as an alien, as a foreign entity that they don't have to discuss anything with. Is that your impression?
Right.
Do you get that impression as well?
Yeah, I mean, the way it played out was, you know, Manchin, like Shelley Moore Capito spoke. And then she left after speaking for about 5 minutes and taking zero questions.
Zero
then Manchin
questions.
Spoke.
Zero questions.
Then Jenkins spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jenkins left. McKinley wasn't there in the first place.
So he never showed up at all.
Right, because he was supposedly in a committee meeting. Mm. So I guess that's reasonable. But Mooney spoke fourth. And like Jenkins and Capito had already left, right?
Right.
They already bailed after they gave a few remarks.
Right.
So Mooney and Manchin were up there taking, like, the first four questions went by, and then Mooney found an excuse to escape after saying something that really kind of annoyed me. But
what did he say? Do you remember?
Know. Oh, they were saying that one of the last things Mooney said was something about people protesting in the parking lot, something about us who were protesting being part of Obama's team. And then he said, Donald Trump was elected fair and square, and now he's going to pass bills to help the American people, something very much like that.
Oh, boy. Right. And that video is online.
And then he bailed, and people, then he, like, tried to leave the room, and people followed him, and, you know, and said, Representative Mooney, please stay here. Please don't leave. You know, and other, and he also even, a friend of mine, Betty, he actually told her, she was trying to ask him a question as he left, and he said, get out of my way.
Wow. That's pretty.
So he's just not a nice guy.
Well, but it's a West Virginia reception. I mean, that the whole idea of these receptions is to invite people from West Virginia to come to D.C. and just have casual conversation, have a couple of glasses of wine. And they had pretty good hors d'oeuvres there. I mean, it's supposed to be a fun thing, right?
Right.
And I don't think people were out of line. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were asking civil questions. They weren't screaming at him, really, were they?
With Mooney?
Right. Well, we did boo him when he said that the we did boo Mooney when he said that the ACA was a disaster.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, good for you.
We didn't boo him or call and make personal remarks or anything. We just booed.
Well, it's a good thing that I wasn't there. I shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Because he's right. I would abuse him.
Well,
I had the ability, I'd take him out to the woodshed, and he'd come back a different man.
Well, next time they have a guest list like this, next time they have a reception, I'll bet you that they're going to vet the list and get back to you as to whether or not you're invited.
You know,
but
it's
meanwhile,
quite possible. We'll see if we can. You know, if things are still the same next year, we'll probably be there again.
Yeah, because they can't keep us. They can't keep us from coming into the building. So we could have a protest right outside the door if we had to.
Exactly.
And they said to print out the reservation, but nobody ever checked that, did they?
Nope, nobody checked for that, and they didn't take IDs, or you just showed up and wrote your name and went inside. So you know, they weren't doing a particularly high-level security thing or anything, but you did go through a metal detector on your way in.
Yeah, but everybody has to go through that, yeah. And mine didn't go off for once. I usually always forget something, you know, keys or, you know, a pen, you know, something like that. But, you know, nowadays it's accepted. Anywhere you go, it seems like when it has to do with the government, you have to go through a metal detector.
Right, because there's crazy people out there and they don't want anyone getting shot.
And they've had that.
And everyone has a gun nowadays, so.
And they've had that in the past. I think they had a couple crazies go in there and that just before they instituted that law.
Well, so they say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had guys down there. I remember breaking news, you know, some nutcase has got a gun inside some building. You know, that's happened in D.C.
Yeah, but, you know, when you say that and then you won't even see your constituents afterwards, I mean, what's the point of democracy at that point?
Right,
I ask you.
And for Mooney to say that Trump won fair and square, we don't know if he won fair and square. We have
no
idea.
That's why that totally ticked me off, man.
Right, right. So how did you find yourself involved in politics? I've known you for decades, and I've always known you as a real quiet, kind of an outdoorsy, kind of a gardener, you know, just a very nourishing type person. And now you're on the front lines of the resistance.
I guess. Well, you know, 45 changed everything, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
It's just changed
everything about my life.
Well, and it doesn't seem to affect the other side at all. They just go on business as usual, you know, whistling Dixie, you know, kind of a skip in their step. They don't seem to be affected by this at all.
Well, they're enjoying laughing at us a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, the joke's going to be on them when they realize we're all screwed.
I don't know. Some
of
them don't care.
And we
some
keep
of them
telling
don't care.
Them, but I mean, I don't want to suffer along with them. You know, I'd like to see something change back to the way it was under Obama.
They don't care.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean,
they'll wonder eventually how, you know, what happened, and they'll know how good they had it under Obama eventually.
I don't know.
But that's not going to be a good thing for everybody either.
Well, I don't think they're going to look back and see how good it was, because the main thing that happened under Obama, we had the Great Recession and a very slow recovery from it, and he was a decent guy and tried to do something, but in terms of improving people's lives on a scale that that they've been eroding for 40 years, you know, he's like, same is true with Clinton in a way. I mean, they tried to do better. They both are good guys, but you know, things are not getting better fundamentally. They're still, you know, we're sitting at the same real wages that we were in 82 and pretty close to what they were in 73. And while the rich are getting richer. So, I mean, and everything starts to fall apart. You know, your children can't do any better than, do worse than you. And, you know, you do worse than your father.
That had to have started with the, with labor unions being eroded and the right to, the so-called right to work laws.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you remove bargaining power from working people. They can't get their share of what's being created wealth-wise. Eventually, everybody gets depressed fundamentally, and they start to look for other answers. I mean, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
So-and-so sounds pretty good, but I ain't got any more money in my pocket now than I did before.
Yeah, and, you know, Americans are very independent-minded by birth. You know, we're born into this democracy and the idea of freedom and independence and help and caring for people, right? I mean, allowing people to come in from other countries and allowing them to, you know, do as any American would do, like it's been done for hundreds of years. I mean, this is nothing new. And then all of a sudden we hit this brick wall where it's just for the privileged. You know, it's all for the 1% and nothing for anyone else. You got 99% of the people walking around scratching their heads, wondering, you know, how they're going to get their next doctor appointment or pay their premiums for medical and keep up with the tax structure that's just all over the place. We live in West Virginia, which is totally underwater, you know, $600 million. And you got the legislature looking at bills like the one that Delegate Householder introduced yesterday called the Freedom to Prosper Act.
I gotta find out what that is.
It's HB.
What is the Freedom to Prosper Act? Is
HB 2883. And several of our delegates from the Eastern Panhandle signed on to that. It basically wipes out any kind of professional fees and training and qualifications, licensing. It's just a terrible bill.
They don't want licensed electricians.
Yeah,
they want
Hey,
I studied electrons and I studied electrons over in Spain one time. Can I have a job? Yeah, sure. You know, pay about $10 an hour for an electrician. How's that? You know.
Whether you know what you're doing or not, you can just open up a shop and say I'm in business. You know, they say prosper, but I think that's a bad title.
Yeah,
we have to rename that.
They put that spin on everything.
I know it's ALEC. It's the American Legislative Exchange Council. The acronym is ALEC, ALEC, and I don't think they have to do much thinking when they come up with this legislation because they just go right to the book. They go to the ALEC playbook and they substitute a few names and turn it in.
Oh, this is preventing local towns from having licensing requirements.
Right, political subdivisions, right. And Blair is one of the leaders in the political subdivision committee, Sarah Blair.
Yeah.
And she signed on to this bill.
Well, she's
she's a kid.
I don't want to say what.
She's a kid.
No, she's not. She's a grown up and she's an idiot.
Well, she's certainly an adult. Yeah, she is an adult. And I think she has a college education or she's working towards one.
Yeah.
She still lives at home with her father, who's a senator and a chairman of a big committee on the Senate side.
Are you sure they don't share a bedroom?
No, I'm not going to say that. We're not going to go there. I mean, yeah. we can say whatever we want. That's the beauty of this medium that we're on, and I love it. I'm really glad John kept this thing going. But I mean, it's like being in outer space, you know. And I go down there every week during the session. Normally, this is the first week in 11 years that I stayed home the whole week, and I'm glad I did because I got to go to the reception and got to go to the lobbyist training last night. And mm-hmm. you know, it was good. It was good not to have to drive that 600-mile round trip. You know, and I mean, we have great interviews when we're when I'm down in Charleston. We get good people to call in and interview face to face. But you know, when things are bleak as they are, and the budgets are being cut everywhere, I mean, you know, my boss is telling me, you know, he can't afford to pay the 600-mile round trip. That you know that I have to cut my budget, and when that happens, you know, you stifle democracy because you don't get that voice that was normally there in these committees. And we have public hearings almost, you know, every week down there. And they had a huge debate on medical marijuana yesterday for 2 hours on the House floor. And they voted it down. It was an amendment. They were going to try to put an amendment to declassify cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 4, where it should be. And they wouldn't buy it. It failed 34 to 65 or something like that. So it wasn't even close. But, you know, you got to give them credit. You know, the folks, and that's bipartisan. The 35 votes were both sides. It wasn't strictly partisan lines there. And some Democrats voted against it. But, you know, we have serious problems. And, you know, medical cannabis could help some of that. It really could. It could help people that are in pain and people that are broke, can't afford the standard medicine that is prescribed.
There is supposedly a lot less of an opioid problem in states where they have medical cannabis.
Exactly. They've proven this.
We have this huge opioid problem in this state.
Right.
Well, in Jefferson County, 22 young people died last year of overdose, and 150 some were saved by the Narcan and may well have died without it.
Man. That's incredible. Was there any other observations to get back to what we were talking about earlier, the reception? Was there any observations that you had that you want to add? Do you want to tell people how they can access that video that shows Mooney actually running out of the committee room?
Yes, it's on Eastern Panhandle Protesters.
Right, but that's a secret group, right? That's a closed group.
Yes, but if you want, probably, you know, they let most anyone in, especially if they know you.
Okay, or is there any other way? Can you post it to Labor Beat?
Yes, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, post it to Labor. Yeah, try to post it. It won't let you do it right away. I'll approve it. I promise you I'll approve it. But our listeners can go and watch it. And, you know, it's kind of 90 degrees out, but you can still see what's going on and you can see the gist of it.
Yeah, and what happened after Mooney left, like I said, there were only four questions, and then Mooney bailed because, you know, the crowd was booing him and stuff like that. So and plus, he didn't want to hear any more questions.
Right. But he was shaking.
Know, people asked questions about, like, everything.
His body language. His body language was terrible. I mean, he was fidgety.
He was nervous.
Very nervous. Very nervous, not like a typical politician. Like Joe Manchin, he can take it. You know, that guy's he's a pro. He's been there, done that.
I was just going to say, he really, without promising anything in particular that we wanted to hear, you know, we were there basically to protest them and sort of, confront them about the fact that they won't hold town halls.
Right.
So he diffused the moment. You know, being the politician that he is, he diffused the whole situation by actually holding a town hall and taking numerous questions after Mooney left by himself. He took questions about renewable energy, about the EpiPen thing. He took an invitation from a guy from a coal miner family to do a town hall. He did agree to do a town hall. He said one is coming up on April 18th in Charleston.
Right.
Which is a little inconvenient for most of us, so we stuck with our plea that we would like to have one in the Panhandle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he took other questions about Russia, the concealed carry reciprocity bill. Russell Mokyber confronted him about, you know, once again, why no town hall in the Panhandle? Why do we have to come to you?
Mm-hmm.
And then he brought up, even though it's a state level issue, Russell brought up State Senator Blair's right to trespass bill.
Yeah, that is a horrible bill. That's a horrible bill.
Yeah. SB 245, it's terrible.
Mm.
People around here do not like it. People are really upset about it, and nobody wants the gas company to be able to come on their property without even having, you know, without giving permission, you know?
Yeah, well, so, Blair backtracks on that. He says that they do give him permission. And then if they ask him in 2 weeks, and if there's no response, they can do it anyway.
Right. So that means
it's the same thing.
You have no right to say no.
Well, the owner, right. And the owner may be out of town. Right? The owner could be on vacation or something and miss it. 2 weeks is 2 weeks is nothing. You know, people go away for 2 weeks all the time. And wouldn't that be something if they came back from vacation and saw all these markers all over their property that they didn't have when they left?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but it's scary that somebody that's a so-called freedom fighter, you know, all these Republicans, they wrap themselves in the flag and they talk about freedom and independence and all this stuff. And then they try to pass a law that's the opposite of that. It's the complete, you know, it's the polar opposite of freedom, you know, to have somebody be able to trespass legally on your property. I mean, we have tax assessors, we have meter readers that come on your property, and that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, well, it happens all the time anyway, and so what? We're just going to put a pipeline on your property, you know. Cause
As long as it's not on their property. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I just said
the whole problem with that bill is just that they passed that bill to help the gas company.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And the gas company is a for-profit business. It's not for the, you know, for the benefit of society. The people in West Virginia will not see any benefit from this, as most of the gas is going to go somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what you're getting?
Right. It could very well, from what I understand, the gas is supposedly going to Baltimore ultimately to be liquefied and sent to Europe.
Wow.
Mm. And the other things that I've been hearing lead me to believe that they want to frack in this area.
Oh, geez.
In Morgan County and Berkeley County.
Ooh.
So they could be adding gas to the pipeline once they drill for it here in this area.
My goodness.
And Blair is laying the way for them to be able to frack more conveniently throughout West Virginia with bills like SB 245, mm-hmm. which allows them to force people into lease pools. In other words, the gas company can force you to sell your mineral rights.
Right.
Even if you don't want to. Just because several of your neighbors did so.
Yeah.
And then they can slant drill from somebody else's land under your land.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
So Blair is preparing the way for the fossil fuel company to be able to operate as easily as possible in this state. And then the gas that's produced, once they start fracking into the Utica shale layer, that can be shipped to Europe more easily with the pipeline.
Yeah. And what did Dr. Hahn, do you remember what Dr. Hahn was saying to Joe Manchin about?
Oh, he talked about, he said, first of all, that, you know, as Mooney left, he said, well, if Representative Mooney was suffering from a severe allergic reaction right now, he might need an EpiPen. But if he didn't have an EpiPen because they cost $500, Senator Manchin, would you help him?
Right.
What would you do for him?
That's right.
And that went into the whole issue of how much meds can cost. And Manchin seemed to say that he would try and get the cost of meds down. But I think whenever Bernie Sanders put that bill forward to just recently to try and be able to re-import drugs from Canada, I don't think Manchin voted for it. You know, he may or may not have. I can't remember, but I'm kind of betting he did because it certainly didn't pass. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then, there were numerous questions. So we intended to make a statement about the fact that they hadn't had any town halls. We had all worn T-shirts spelling out the words town hall. Like 10 of us, like, excuse me, 9 of us had worn T-shirts spelling out that word mm-hmm. with a question mark at the end. And after Joe Manchin took so many questions and was pretty accommodating, at least about answering them in the way that he, you know, can from the standpoint of his politics, you know, some people no longer wanted to make that statement. But we decided instead to actually include him in the picture. Mm-hmm. But the statement had been, you know, mostly it's the matter that Mooney won't hold a town hall.
Right.
We know that Manchin kind of will hold town halls, and he spoke to us. But he's a Democrat. The Republicans, they're running.
Yeah.
They don't want to have to defend all these onerous policies that, you know, that they're putting forward now. Now that they have all this power, they're doing what they want with it. They're not interested in our complaints about it, and they don't want to hear it.
No, they won't. They refuse to hear it. They refuse
exactly.
to negotiate. They refuse to debate.
Yeah.
And they're winning. So, they're winning their elections by such a large margin that it doesn't seem to concern them that people are upset with what they're doing.
Right, but they should realize, and you know, they may or may not be listening right now. But what they should know is that millions more people, like me, who weren't paying attention much at all before, are paying attention now. And we're going to vote, at the very least, you know? We'll vote and have our friends vote. So they may not be as happy next time.
I heard you. I heard that. That's wonderful. I think you're going to have to get out there and do more than vote. I'm not sure they'll have another election, frankly. You know,
well,
so,
that is worrisome. You're right. I worry about that in the back of my mind, too.
Because they know that what they're doing, if they can't, you know, if the money from the third party doesn't buy them the election, they're out of a job, right? They know that.
Yeah.
So they're going to, you know, undemocratize things
right.
as fast as possible.
Yeah, because they don't even campaign.
So they don't have to be held accountable.
They don't campaign. They don't have town halls. When they have town halls prior to the election, they don't show up. A bunch of them don't. Some of them do, but
so,
not all of them.
But, you know, it's up to the people. You know, if the people don't show up, too, to notice the absence, you know, then it's all
right.
becomes just, you know, who cares?
Yeah, and people, you know, they might listen to the broadcast, you know, because normally the local radio stations. That's something we should think about, John, is having remote broadcasts at these town halls coming up next year.
Oh, that's yeah, we should. Just take,
yeah, we could think about
just
it.
Take a, just take a recorder with you. We can.
Yeah.
Do what we have to do.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the resistance is building. We got to do it every way we can. Look, what's coming down the road is going to cause a lot of pain for a lot of people. And we just you got to get the hurting people. And matter of fact, you got to get the corpses, too, and put them on the front steps of these sons of bitches.
Yeah, there you go.
You do. And until it starts to stink, you know, and now they run not only from the town hall, but they run from the town. Period, you know, and I mean, just got to get a. That's just God Almighty. It's just horrible.
It is. Where do we go from here? You know.
Well, people should know that Patrick Morrissey is coming to Shepherd College on March 18th.
That's right.
We
Good
should,
call.
Is that Morrissey?
Yes.
Yes, we definitely.
We should all show
oh,
up
yeah.
to show him how much we love him. Ha-ha.
That's right. Yeah. No, in a not way. Yeah. Right. As my kids used to say in the 80s.
Yeah, he's another one that protected the pharmaceutical industry from any repercussions from this opioid epidemic. Which
well, he's one of the top fascists.
He's culpable.
No, he was considered for the Trump administration. I mean,
absolutely.
He's a good buddy of Bannon,
yeah.
you know, the racist. You
yep,
know.
Right.
I wonder
Are
what
you,
that...
So Patrick Morrissey is acquainted with Bannon, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah.
No, I mean he is
that's truly scary.
He is gutter snipe,
and he's going to run against Manchin.
You know,
he's going to run against Joe Manchin.
He's gutter snipe.
Mm.
I mean, you know, I got no respect for any of these sons of bees. None.
Well, and they also, as part of that MBA program, I'm glad you brought that up, Tracy. That's a good one. March 18th, which is a Saturday, I believe it's in the morning. Right, starts in the morning. And there's several different breakout groups, and one of them is on energy. And and the whole title of the MBA program is something to do with reinventing West Virginia. Isn't that the
right?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're reinventing it for solar and wind, or just reinventing it for gas and pipelines.
Well, that's kind of the rub that we had in the renewable energy industry was that the fact that there was nobody from our industry on the panel. Yeah, they had Chris Hamilton from the Coal Association, which, you know, that's standard. And then they had this new guy, poorly named Scott Freshwater. And we've already renamed him Frackwater. Is going to speak for the oil and gas industry. But as far as we know, there's nothing been published about somebody holding up our end of the deal. The real future of West Virginia is in solar panels and windmills. And from what the rumor we're hearing, because we did write letters and send emails to the president, Mary Hendricks, that she agreed that somebody would be on there representing renewables. And the rumor is, and I don't have confirmation, that it's our local citizen here in Shepherdstown, Dan Conant from Solar Holler, is supposed to be on that panel. And I plan on being there.
I believe he is invited. Yeah.
But I have not seen anything in writing. John, I haven't seen anything that they put out publicly.
They had to pressure them to do that.
Did they do it?
Yeah. I heard that they had.
I haven't seen it. But I'd love to hear that.
I haven't seen it either.
But Tracy, I really appreciate you coming on the show. And, you know, I want you to come back in the future when things are starting to bubble up and you want to promote an action that you're planning. We'd love to have you on the show. Okay.
All right. Thanks, JD. I appreciate it.
All right, pal.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You want to play a little tune now, buddy? Or take a little short little...
Yeah. Play a tune and see if we get any calls. Maybe right. Somebody else is going to call.
304-885-0708.
This is Labor Beat Radio.
There we go, man. And we've got... we'll do this one.
Son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A, by